good to see each one of you out tonight. Let's just turn in our scriptures to John, the first chapter. We'll read John 1, 1 through 14. We'll be here reading for tonight. I hope we're beginning to see a little more about what I'm trying to say and a few things. The lineup that's being used, so I pray that you'd just remember to pray for us just to continue to go on. I've never understood, maybe people have problems and things like that, but I've never understood how anyone could sit under, I'm not saying it because I preached it, but a message like this morning, that could sit under a message like that and see Christ revealed in the first and second fold like we're talking about, or the seventh seal that people say they don't know nothing about. And then somebody gets up and speaks it in simplicity like that and brings it out. I don't understand how they could be away that night. I'd hang on to a man's coattail, the old saying goes. I stayed with brothers when they were, you know, hammering and beating me to death and everything in the book, calling me all kind of names. I stayed with them because they're preaching the word, and I continue to do that. See, that way I want to gain ground, but I can't understand that. If I was to go to didn't have a place, you know, or maybe that I was scheduled to go or something, I went somewhere tonight and I heard somebody preach and he preached a great message by revelation, then next Sunday morning I'd be there if I didn't have something to tie me up so much that I couldn't be there. But just like the brothers that came this morning, and see, they're not even here tonight, don't want to hear anymore because they got enough. They knew what I was talking about. They amened and they said they understood it and everything. Well, I hope and pray God that they did, but I believe I could have honestly said, you don't get what I'm talking about. Because if they'd have got what I was talking about, they'd be here tonight. It's not always those that scream and holler amen and agree with all you say that really knows what the message is. A lot of times it's them that sits real quiet and just continues to come to listen. See, that those amens and things, you appreciate them. But still, if they hear these tapes, I hope they understand. Of course, I doubt either one of them ever hearing them, but I mean, you can amen and agree with a person and never know a thing in the world. Brother Branham on this message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he says, you're not getting it. And on the seal book, you remember, I went over it and over it and over it trying to show it, that Brother Brown said, it's gone from you, and ain't no way you can get it. And them people were sitting there saying, amen, we understand you, Brother Brown. He said, that's a hard thing for me to say. He was telling them they didn't understand what he was saying. And they're saying they did. See, he is saying, that's a hard thing for me to say, because you're not getting what I'm talking about. But see, I can stand and preach and say to the people like that, they're not getting what I'm talking about. Because if they did, there wouldn't be no way in the world you could prize a man away from. But it just hurts, you see, to see people do that and then just sit right there with you and amen and holler, and then they won't even come back to listen to you no more, or, you know, or anything about it. That hurts. But you just pray for one another and all. Let's read John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. Now, Brother Branham said you can read that, and even your scholars know that word God there refers to Elohim, which is self-existing, and it's the Logos. So you can read that in the beginning was Elohim, and the Elohim was with Elohim, and the Elohim was Elohim. See, the Word was God, because that's what it was. That word there is Logos, and it's Elohim. That your translation would come in there then. Now watch, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Now, speaking of Jesus Christ, see, He was the true light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh, lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Now think about it, even to the many he gave power to become sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So keep that scripture in mind. So Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, we thank you for an opportunity of gathering here, Lord. We pray that you'd bless us with your presence. Give us understanding that, Lord, we may walk in the light as you are that light. Teach us to wait on you, Lord. Be guided by your understanding hand. Forgive our sins. Guide us in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Now, that great person that we're talking about is the Word. You remember what we brought out on the first fold of the threefold revelation of Christ the mystery of God revealed? That great person that could not be comprehended, that after down through all time and eternity and all like that, if you went back as far as the stars went, on back into eternity and just kept on going back through, that great person existed back there. And before anything existed that you could even think of being anything at all, the great eternal God existed. Well, then that great person now wanted to show himself or reveal himself to man, and what did he do? He came in the flesh called Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Then that very God, that first fold of it, was that very God making manifest himself in human flesh, wouldn't it? See, that person that we read about here, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word. See, Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, so he'd be all the Word. See, God is the Word. Now, I don't mean that he's just this letter here that we hold up. You know, God is the alive Word. See, that Word, there is Logos, which means in the Greek, the prophet explaining to us, and then you can look it up in the dictionary, it means the speech. All right? Then we know in our day that they use the word logos. Don't get that mixed up with logos if I pronounce it wrong. They, you know, like the Braves have a great thing out there of an Indian on a hat, and that's their logos, they call it. Logo, you know, don't get that confused with it, because you'll try to run that through the scriptures and it won't work. But it's logos, which means speech. All right, when the Word, if the Word is God, then when the Word is spoken, then wouldn't that be God? See, if the Word is God, if that's what He is, and in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, all right, then when the Word is spoken, then that Word itself is what God is. But that's not just somebody talking. That's the very speech itself. And that speech there means not just somebody talking. That means the very parts, the thoughts of God that he had in his mind begin to be brought out through his Word. And the great mystery that we're studying on Christ the mystery God revealed, that great mystery God had in his mind before the world ever begun, a secret that he was holding there. And that great mystery is that Word would be made manifest in human flesh. And now, watch where we got to this morning. That it's not that the church would be another person. I mean, we're educated enough to know that if you say persons, that means persons. A person is a personality, and a personality is an individual. You can look that up in your dictionary if you like, because that's what the words refer to. All right, then a personality is a person. Well, then, Brother Branham, you know, he, as I said this morning, he said, said, now I used to think Jesus loved me and God hated me. That would be two different personalities. He said, until I found out that he's the self-same person. All right, then he couldn't hate him and love him then, could he? See, there wouldn't be no way that God could hate that away like he was thinking it was. Because what causes God to destroy man in the final end is that he turns down his grace that he's given unto him. Then the God of love and grace, of mercy, that was saying, come unto me, that God becomes a God of wrath. See, because then there is no more mercy. It's all gone. And that door is laying right there ahead of us now that God will leave the mercy seat. See, in the Old Testament, the Lamb left the mercy seat, and when it did, it become judgment seat. All right, that's laying right before us, that this whole thing's going to wind up, and it'll be judgment seat then. It won't be mercy seat no more. See, then you'll find out that God is angry then. But at this present time, we're under the blood just like everybody's under the blood. Sinners, saints, or whoever they are, they're under the protective blood of Jesus Christ. Whether they're lost or whatever they are, he's taking care of them. And if it's this bad that cancer could eat a person up, that animals could attack you and destroy you and all, what about it would be when the time would come that there'd be no more mercy? I don't want to be around here then. As bad as we can think of now, that's still under grace. But now just think, like we was talking about this morning now, that you can't add, the church can't be something different. The church has got to be Jesus Christ made manifest. That's why I said it can't be a denomination, it can't be anything like that. It's got to be individual people that God makes himself manifest through. See, then there wouldn't be no denomination, because a denomination is a group of people. There's people in those denominations maybe yet still to come out. All right, that individual that's there, if he's born again in there, then he's a Christian. See, he's just in the wrong place, like the story the prophet told of the eagle that was hatched down there under the old hen and run around behind. He's just in the wrong place. But he's still a part of the body of Christ. He's still part of this mystery that we're talking about. But he'll come out of that now, because there can't be a denomination in the Word of God. I was talking down at work one day and heard a man's feelings. I was hoping he'd catch it, but he caught it the wrong way. And really, he caught it the right way is the reason he got mad, I guess. But I said, there's no such thing in the Bible as a denomination called the Church of God. Well, this boy was a Church of God preacher. A little while after then, he come to me, and you could tell he was fiery mad. I mean, he was upset and a well-capable feller of punching you in the nose if he needed to, because he worked down there at lunch one day. He done 400 sit-ups just to show the people he could do it. Weightlifter, all like that, just done 400 sit-ups just to show he could do it. But see, he come over here, he said, now, I don't like the way y'all talk. I said, wait a minute, what's wrong? He said, you said there wasn't no such thing in the Bible, Church of God. I said, didn't I say there wasn't no denomination in the Bible called the Church of God? Well, he had to calm back down a little bit. He said, well, you're right. There is no such thing as a denomination in the Bible. I said, well, then that's what I'm talking about. I wasn't talking about your church or anything. I was talking about the denomination. See, there can't be no denomination in the Word, because a denomination means a common denominator. You're dividing things when you get in denominations you find in a common denominator for these kids. They'd even know that much when you're in your school and, you know, your mathematics. But see, it's not that. It's Christ. The church then can't be an addition. It can't be something added to the Word. Because if it's something added to the Word, then your pledges of the Bible would fall in there. All right, then we saw this morning that all God was, he poured into Christ, and all Christ was, he pours into the church. Then that don't make, was God and Christ two separate people? See, I want you to get that, because that's been dwelling on my mind for about 2 weeks now. I want you to see this rightly, because then you'll be able to understand what the prophet's saying in this Christ of Mystery God Revealed. Is God one person and Christ another one? We say no. See, we say that's the same person. We believe in one God. We say that's the same person there. Well, then let's don't make the church a separate person. See, let's don't make the church something different, because she'd be an addition to the Word then, wouldn't she? Jesus was God made manifest in one body. Not a separate person, see. God made manifest in one body. Alright, then the church is Christ made manifest, that same God made manifest in a many-membered body. So it's not another person you're talking about. I'm wanting you to see that you that are born again, how the baptism of the Holy Ghost living in you, you are God in human flesh for the hour that you're living in. You're this Word. Now when we come down to it, you'll see it. There was a Word for this hour for somebody to live. Everybody can look in the Bible and they can see that Luther was back there and Wesley was in their time and Pentecost was in their time. They were living the Word for their hour, wasn't it? In the book of Acts, that was the Word for the hour that the people were living. Alright, then there's a Word for this hour. In this hour, it's all the Word. Well, then if it's all the Word, then Christ would be all of that Word dwelling in me and you. And it wouldn't be a second person or a third person. It'd be the same person made manifest in a many-membered body, where once he was just in a one body. Now study the prophet's message from that and see if that don't bring it out that way. Study what he's saying, that Jesus Christ living in us makes us God made manifest upon the earth. Right? Then the second fold of the threefold purpose, then it would be simple to see that second fold of it as the church. And then that wouldn't be an addition to what the prophet said when he preached the original there on the seventh seal and said the seventh seal is the end of all things. And then he just brought that up. Now he said it was the end of all things, and then he said it was so seven thunders. Then the seven thunders would be the end of all things. If you added the church onto it, see, if you added her on to that, or if you had some great revelation, as I said, most of the people seem to think that there was a one fold preached by the prophet, and then there's going to be two great folds come sometime later. I don't believe that. I believe it was all in Jesus Christ. That's the only way I can see the message fit. Then we can look back and see the prophet said how it unfolded. He said down to this present hour that we're living on Christ the Mystery God Revealed. He didn't say how it unfolded down to 83, because he wasn't in 83. He was back there in about 63. So he said how it's unfolded down to the present hour. Then there was a message there that the church would catch. And the message she catch takes all those seals and brings it into a simple form that we can see Christ right here among us. Now, if we can't see that, then heaven help us. Because Brother Branham said, if you miss it and the seals, come back to this. All right, here we are on this now. Bringing the mystery of Christ is that mystery. And notice the prophet didn't say, now what? He didn't say Jesus was the mystery. All of us have talked about them things, haven't we? He didn't say Jesus was the mystery. He didn't say God was the mystery. He said Christ. The word Christ means the anointed one. See, Jesus was both Lord and Christ. See, he was the God of the earth, heaven and all, and he was anointed. That anointing came on him there and made him the Christ. See, but he was born Lord the Christ. He was born anointed, then an anointing come on him for the ministry he's in. Well, see, then when the Holy Ghost comes on you, that makes you Christ. Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. See, it's Christ in you, he said, the hope of glory. All right, it's the anointing that's in you. It's the new birth that's given you Christ. Then that Christ that's living in you, that makes you the Christ. You ever heard him talk about Moses being the Messiah for the day that he lived in? You ever heard him talk about how the great men back there were the Messiah for the age they lived in? Meaning the Christ for the age of that hour they were living. See, then here we are in the last days to wind up all the Word. The end of all things come upon us, the Scripture said. Then we'll have to be the full Word. And Brother Brown said, all God was, He poured into Christ. He said, all Christ was, He pours into the church. The church becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, that was what we was trying to drive at this morning. Don't make her an addition, because if you do, then your threefold purpose won't fit. If you make her an addition, you add to the Bible. You don't have nowhere to go to try to pick it up. But most people, as I said, are looking for something else. They don't think we've got enough. You watch the preachers preaching and things. They don't think we've got enough. We're all in bad shape. I hear that out of preachers so much, like I want to just get up and walk out of places I've been in. I hear them talking about, we're just all in bad shape. Ain't none of us got nothing. If we ain't got nothing, that'd be a good place to start from. If we go to altar somewhere and get rid of that spirit and find Christ, then we'd have something. We'd have something then, wouldn't we? People told me, we don't have no more than the denominations do. If we don't have more than they do, then we're just them too. We're just one of them. Now, we might not be able to manifest no more than they do because they're having healings and signs and wonders and miracles. That ain't got nothing to do with it. We're in the hour when the anointing is on. If you can't see that the anointing is here for that out there. Now listen, if you can't see what's out there is anointed and the way they're doing, then if that out there is anointed, then the church has got to be anointed. Because that's the only way they can get theirs. It means the anointing's on the church. It means the church being made manifest. Alright, then we just got to find out where it's at. But now listen, we can't be an addition to it. If we're an addition, then all wasn't in Christ. Now that's where we brought it to this morning. The church is in Himself revealed. Now I want to pick up just a little more on that this morning, what we was talking about. Page 39, Christ is a mystery of God revealed. Brother Brown said, the church is Himself, God Himself revealed. See, because that's the anointed one. It's not Jesus the mystery, it's Christ the mystery. See, the anointed church, where it was the anointed person there, now it's the anointed bride. See, the same anointing on just a many membered. Now, the church is Himself revealed. We were talking on page 27 this morning how that the first fold was the main thing, because in the first fold, you have everything in Jesus Christ, and then put that in the church, and you've just got the first fold made manifest, and ours is your second fold. See, it's not a different fold of a different something else revealed. It's the same person revealed, just in a many-membered body. All right, now on page 56, you'll find Brother Branham says that when we let the Word go through us, see, that's when us and the Word are one, when we let the Word go through us. She must be part of the mystery. Now the church must be part of the mystery, or she'll be an addition to the Bible. We found that there's a mystery in the Word of God. You following me? We found that there is a mystery in the Word of God. Over in Revelation 10, it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God. It doesn't say mysteries, plural. It says mystery of God should be finished. Alright, then there's just one mystery to the whole Bible. And that one mystery to the whole Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ that we read this morning out of the Scripture in Revelation 1:1. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the Word. It's the thing the prophet always preached as being the revelation of all. The Word made manifest. All right, then she can't be it. If she's anything else, she'll be in addition to it. She must be part of God. And I read you this morning that Brother Branham said, He become us that we might become Him. See, that's part of it. He become me that I might become Him. That's the only way now that I can become Him. The only way that I can have anything to do with this second pole of the threefold mystery is for Him to be in me. Living Himself in me. Then that makes me part of the mystery. You ever thought about yourself being part of God? See, now I'm not talking about this flesh. Because the flesh of Jesus wasn't part of God. It was 16 elements of the earth. It came out of there where His was created from the dust of the earth. Ours come by perversion. So this flesh is not what we're talking about. But the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you have in your heart that I was trying to bring out at the end this morning there, that is, Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, I was there in Him as He was walking the shores of Galilee. What? The baptism of the Holy Ghost that's dwelling in me was in Him. The same life that was in Him now lives in me. Then in that, it is Christ Himself revealed, ain't it? The church is Christ revealed. That is the one true and living God. But to have the right understanding now, watch now, we are part of the mystery. I'll read you in a minute from the prophet where he says we are. Then that makes us part of this Word. There was a mystery that was sealed up in this Word that the seventh angel's message would bring out that mystery, and that one mystery singular there would be the revelation of all the Bible. See, all the mysteries would make the one mystery. Then this Word here would have to be alive in somebody's heart to make known that mystery. She would have to be part of that mystery. See, not a second person now because she ain't part of the mystery then. I mean, we read novels about mystery stories and things, you know, and we read a mystery about it was the butler that done the killing, you know. Well, then when you get down to the end, if it told it was a butler that done the killing and all the mystery, and then right in the end it said, well, it wasn't him, it was the baker that done it. Well, you know he wasn't part of the mystery because he wasn't even mentioned in there. See, that's what people want to do with it. They want to add us to something. It's not an addition. We are God made manifest. See, if your people would have just saw it that way, they'd have never come up with a Trinitarian idea. If they'd have saw that you are part of God, they'd have never come up with another person in there nowhere. They would have seen that we here tonight, the born-again believers, are part of the body of Christ, and that makes us part of God's mystery. So for Him to be the fullness, now listen, for Jesus Christ to be the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which means He's all of this Word. You following me? He was all of this Word. He was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then I would have had, if I'm part of God now, I'm talking about not my flesh now or my spirit now, but if my soul was part of God or is now, then I'd have had to have been part of God then. What's living in my soul today would have had to have been part of God had been back there with Him. See, then I wouldn't be in a... You wouldn't be an addition to the Bible. You would be God made manifest that was back there. But that was God's mystery. See, now watch. There was a mystery in the Bible. You remember in the Old Testament where the Jews, you know, were God's chosen people and it was brought down to the Old Testament of God's chosen people and everything else, you know. All right, there was a mystery hidden there. Now watch. And that mystery that was hidden back there was that the Gentiles would come into the kingdom. And down through the Old Testament, that mystery was kept secret, wouldn't it? Few little things spoke of it. Few little things happened on the way that would speak of the Gentiles coming in. But those Pharisees would read those scriptures where that it says, there'd come a time that I'll be sought of a people that are not my people.
They'd read those scriptures and still couldn't comprehend what was being said. I mean, them Jews being so proud, they say, how could he be salt of a people that was not his people? See, they couldn't get that. That was a mystery to them. But that mystery was fulfilled when the Gentiles were brought into the kingdom there in the house of Cornelius. When the Holy Ghost fell on them, that brought in the Gentiles to the kingdom. That was a mystery locked up in the Old Testament that had never been understood. What? Now that's what I'm talking about now. There's a mystery locked up in the Bible then that every believer, all of that Old Testament that spoke of the Gentiles coming in and hid the mystery. All of this whole New Testament then put together with the Old would speak of a mystery. Luther knew he was a Christian. Luther knew he was a born-again member of the body of Christ. But what do you think he would have done? Now, he shook the world with a message of the just shall live by faith. What do you think he'd have done in the day that he was living when people would listen to what he said? That when the doors of a church, all you had to do was just put up a church somewhere and you couldn't keep the people out. It just fill in the church because the pool then was wanting to be Christians and be set free from that Catholicism and all of those things that they were tied up with. That Wesley preached. One time I figured up that man preached an average of 5 sermons a day. You know there's a lot of days he didn't get to preach. What do you think that man would have done if he'd have known the mystery that was under the seals that the prophet of God preached in the end time? That man shook the world with a message of sanctification. Luther turned the whole world from Catholicism back to Christianity. What do you think he'd have done if he'd have known that Jesus Christ, he even come out teaching the Trinitarian doctrine and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Wesley come right out with the same thing, still baptizing people, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost and all. Bringing out those things out of the Catholic Church because he didn't know any better. What if he'd have known the mystery? What if he'd have had this book of Christ, the mystery of God revealed? If he preached 5 sermons a day and rode a horse 4,500 miles a year to preach, what do you think he'd do today? One day that horse fell in a hole and broke his leg. He got off. The Methodists wouldn't like me to say that. He got off and anointed that horse low and got on it and rode on. They wouldn't like you to tell that. But see, what would he have done if he'd have caught the mystery? What would he have done if he'd have known that he was not only just, now listen, not only just a part of God, but that he was a manifestation of God in human flesh? A Christian today is not just say, I'm part of God. I'm glad I'm part of God. I said that and I was a Baptist. But a Christian today is very God himself made manifest. You see why these people like Moon and all of them runs off and calls themselves God? You see why they go all with it? Because they can read out of this word that you're God in human flesh. Then they just keep on till they make themselves God, see? Well, now the church, then, for a man to do that, they'd have to be a church somewhere coming to the place that she would be God in human flesh. The whole bride of Christ would be God in human flesh. Then we're not a second person. We're not a son of Jesus that was a son of God, are we? Jesus Christ was that very God himself. And if he is that very God himself, then that makes me and you sons and daughters of God. He become me that I might become him. How are we part of the Word? How are we part of God? Because we're part of the Word. If we're living in this hour and manifesting the Word of this hour, then we're part of this Bible. You say, I don't find my name in there nowhere. No, but I'll tell you one thing. When you rightly see it, you'll see every scripture in this Bible points at you. You are the mystery. Every scripture in this Bible points at you. David running down through there. One day he said, I run through a troop and leaped over a wall. You know what that points to? You come down here in the end time, you'll run through the troop of death and leap from over the wall from natural to supernatural right into the arms of God in the resurrection and rapture. That mystery was sealed up and the Bible holding that mystery until the end time. And that mystery is that the bride is part of that mystery. We taught that Jesus was God. Now, what did I bring out last week? When I was in the Baptist, I always believed Jesus was God. I believed in one God then. The only way I could explain it was the terminology that was used in the day and the hour we was living in, the people I was around. But what did we see different from what we saw before the seals broke and after they broke? I believe Jesus was God. You say, I believe Jesus was God. Well, I believe that as a Baptist now. And I'd argue with him. I had him so great that even the Bible said that he'd bar him up lest he dashed his foot against a stone. And I could have quoted you scriptures that he couldn't have stomped his toe and made it bleed like you stomped yours. See, I was going too far. But I had scriptures to prove that it was one God. I'd sit with my brother, a Methodist preacher, and he's a Trinitarian. We'd argue every funeral we got together at. We'd go all night on it. But just on and on with arguing over whether there was one God or three. I always believed in one God. But I'm like Brother Branham. I had Jesus loving me and God hating me. Until I found out that there wasn't but that one person. See, I believed in one God, but I didn't believe him the way the Bible brought him out as being. But when the message of the hour came forth, I could see more of God, you know. I could see the right terminology to express him with, like the prophet would do. But I still didn't see Jesus Christ as that God that I was supposed to see in the Bible until the seals broke to me, and then I saw him not as just God. I saw him as the great creator God, the all in all, the everything. And Jesus was his name. See, then I could see it. Page 74, the Christ is a mystery of God revealed. Look what the prophet said. You got your book and like turn to page 74, second paragraph. It'd be good really if you just read the whole thing. I wish you'd read this message over and over until I get back and preach. Lord willing, Brother Colley will be speaking next Sunday morning. And Brother Ed Waters will be preaching next Sunday night for us. So just remember that. And that'll give me time maybe to rest a little and hunt some. And maybe the Lord can speak to me a little more about some things. But I appreciate what he shows me. But I wish you'd read this book over and over and over. If you don't have the book, get the tape and just listen to it over and over and over and over. You can see I've read mine. And this is the second one. The one I've got at work, I had to put the back back on it the other day and tape it up. That was the original one I wore out. It was a blueback one like Brother Tatum and them's got. I had to go back and get me another one because I'd wore that one slap out. I wish you'd read it over and over and over and over and over until you get what he's talking about. And watch very carefully what he's saying. Watch him now, second paragraph, that he, the head, is the first fruits of the resurrection. We'll go off this revelation just a little while longer, if you say so. All right, just a little bit now. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. Is that right? What? Then what is he? He's the head of the body, which is his church, bride. Mm-hmm. Then the bride body must follow the head, for it is part of his resurrection and part of the mystery. See, now she's part of this mystery. Now watch it. It's impossible for it not to go. Oh my, it's part of God's mystery. How God revealed himself here and raised it up by the word. So he reveals the church and raises it up by the same word. It's a part of his threefold mystery. Now the church then is part now of this threefold mystery. And this threefold mystery is Christ is the mystery. See, not Jesus is the mystery. Christ, the anointed, is the mystery. Ever who's anointed is part of this mystery. Now, I don't mean the anointed wants the end time. I ain't talking about them now. I'm talking about the real, genuine, born-again Christian, the believers in the Bible. If you'd like it, I'll find it in here. Brother Brown said, just the believers only. See, not them people out there that claim to be believers, but the real, genuine believers are part of the Word. She's part of the mystery. Now, listen. God's great mystery, page 58, you'll find him saying, God's great mystery is that he once had in Christ is now in his church. Now in his church. She's part of God, the Word, for this hour that we're living. That's what the church is. She's part of God for this hour that we're living in. Right now, you're part of the Word. That means you realize, I used to say, hadn't you thought about, oh, I wish I'd have lived in the times of the Bible. Hadn't you heard people talk like that? I wish I'd have lived back there in the times of the Bible. People even say, boy, if I'd have lived back there when Jesus was here, they wouldn't have crucified him. I'd have fought for him. Why ain't you fighting for him today? Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why ain't you fighting for him now? Oh, them Pharisees said, telling Jesus now, they said, about to all of them killing the different ones Jesus talked to them. He said, yeah, and if we'd have been back there. And there stood the Creator, and they killed him, saying if we'd have been back yonder, they wouldn't have killed the prophets. People today said, if we had just been back there, we'd just been there when Jesus was here. And Brother Branham come along and said, if God laid out all the time for him to come preach, he said it'd been a great thing to have been there when he walked the shores of Galilee. He said it'd been a great time to have been there in the book of Acts, you know, and the Holy Ghost falling and the church going forth and the great manifestations that's written in the Bible. But he said if he had a time to pick to preach the gospel, that God say, where do you want to preach at? He said he'd write down here in the end time. He said, because all the Word is here. He called this the golden age. They ain't nobody, listen, they ain't nobody can take your place. You say a great man like the Apostle Paul, do you realize all he said just pointed at you, Brother Taylor? All he said just pointed at you, Sister Burge, that's what it is. All he said just pointed at all the things he done. You think he won't want to sit down one of these days and listen to you? You think Paul won't want to sit down? He said, you'll be chained in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. He never saw that done. He'll sit down one of these days and want to listen to you tell about what happened during that change. We're going to be human beings over there in heaven. We're not going to be spooks floating around, little clouds floating about. We can sit down and talk about these times we had on the earth. There won't be none of the heartaches, remember. The Scripture says that. The former things are passed away, you know, and all the heartaches will go with that. But we'll sit down and talk about all the times we had in the Lord. We'll sit down one of these days, Brother Tatum, and talk about the first healing I ever saw was a woman that's laying on a bed paralyzed. And Brother Tatum, Brother Moat was going to pray for her, and they said, you want to go? And I said, sure, I'd like to go along. First miracle I'd ever seen, first thing I'd ever seen like that. A woman sat right straight up in the bed. Sat there that had been impossible for a woman her size and heaviness like that, that was healthy to even set that away. She sat right up in the bed and sat there and talked to us for the longest. And then Brother Moat said, well, when you get to feeling better, said, just, you know, try to get on up and maybe put your feet on the floor. She said, when y'all get out of this room, I'm getting up. Well, that's what happened. When we left the room, she got up. But see, she believed this word now. And the last thing she said before they prayed, she said, son, said, put that Bible down there on my feet. Said, they're going to pray for me. Laid the Bible on her feet. That's where she wanted it at. The Word is what's right. And the Word points down to the end time. Then which one would it be more important for you to be living there in the book of Acts or living now? I'll take mine now. Brother Branham, I heard him the other day on a message on thinking on his way or something like that. I heard him on that message. He said, telling his wife, he said, honey, said if it was left to me and said I could be given, said for 50 years, he's 50 years old, and he's talking about how he needed to do something for the Lord, you know, and all because he's 50 years old. He said, honey, if I had 50 years, if the Lord came to me and said that he would give me 50 more years to live and that I would have troubles and heartaches and persecutions and trials and sicknesses of all kinds,
and said I'd have all of that to happen to me, and said I'd have to beg for every meal that I'd eat for that 50 years. But said at the end of that 50 years, I'd be given eternal life. And he said, then if the Lord would say, now I'll give you that choice, you can go that away. That you'll beg for your bread, you'll be persecuted, you'll be sick, you'll have all kind of troubles. But said, I'll give you another choice. That I'll give you so many years, I don't remember where he used 50 or not, but he gave him so much, that I'll give you, and said, I'll give you the whole world. And said, you can have everything in the world belongs to you. There ain't a one of us tonight wouldn't want a new car and a new home and all kind of things like that, isn't it? That's the natural flesh. But he said, I'll give you the whole world for you to rule it and everything. But said, at the end of that period of time, I forgot how long it he said. But I'll say this for myself. Say, after 1,000 years, you could rule the world and live and be a young 18-year-old person for 1,000 years. But at the end of the 1,000 years, you'd have to die. Which would you choose? He said, I'd say, give me the 50 years. See, that's what eternal life meant to him. He
in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Now watch what he's saying. Christ in you makes him the center, the middle, you know, the center of it, of life of the revelation. Now watch it, he goes on. See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible, now watch, Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you, now I'm reading from him, listen, Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. Christ in you now makes him the center of the life of the revelation. That's what I'm talking about. It's not a second fold then. That's another person, is it? It's the same person. Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. See what God's trying to do? Christ in you makes you the center of this whole Bible. What all this Bible spoke of was Jesus Christ living in me and you. In the end time. That's why it doesn't bother me for troubles and heartache. Sure, I'm human, it hurts, but I know all things work together for good. See, then it'll all come out. Because as Brother Schrader said, it's to let you know what kind of seed's on the inside of there. See where you'll stay with the Word or not, or what you'll do. See, that's what the test is for. Now listen, but we see there that all is done by the first fold, and the second's not an addition to the Word. We're part of the Word. We're not looking for something different, are we? Why would we want to look for something different? What would motivate a person to look for something different in the second and the third fold from what the first fold was? I have to speak what I think it'd be. It would have to be an Antichrist spirit. Surely couldn't fit the Word. So it would have to be an Antichrist spirit manifesting itself in a person. See, because it'd be something different. Why would you want to look at anything different than all God was he poured into Christ? And then bring it down to all Christ pours into the church. And that she's part of the mystery. Church, can you see that? They ain't but a handful of us here. But listen, that doesn't have anything to do with it. Because there wasn't just a handful, there was about 12 there at the church of Ephesus. A great church that turned the world upside down. If this church right here will catch the revelation of what I'm talking about right now and get on fire for God, the world will come to see it burn. If you'll just go live, act, behave, and walk the life of a Christian, you don't have to say nothing to nobody. Many a person's come to me at work and they say, "Are you a Christian?" I say, "Well, I try to be." They say, "Well, we see something different about you. You don't act like all of these rest out here act." Well, see, I try to keep my word. They laughed at me like everything Friday. I told them, I said, I want it off Friday where we could go take our camper down and get ready for deer hunting Saturday morning. It cost me $10 worth of gas plus driving to work and back and lost a whole day to keep my word. That's how much my word means. They laughed at me. My boss said, "Dale, you didn't have to do that." But I told him, I said, "Listen, if you let me off, something comes up and you can't run, you know, and everything, and you need me bad enough, you call me at 6 o'clock and I'll be on my way to work." See, I had to drive down and back myself. The other guys went on to work. I could have went to work with them, rode back, you know, for the day's work. Wouldn't have cost me nothing. I'll have to drive my day in rotation anyway. It didn't make no difference. See. But it meant so much that when they called, I didn't... "Oh, boy, I wish you could run without me. Boy, I'm so mad, I'm so upset." When I went in, a man said, "Boy, did that upset you when they call?" I said, "No." I said, "Because I give my word that I'd be here." They laughed like everything about it. Man come into work, hour and something later. They come over and said, "Dale, you want off?" I said, "You can go back home if you want to." I said, "If you'll make sure that man that let me have his day gets off when he wants to about 2 o'clock in the afternoon," I said, "I'll go back home." He said, "He'll be off if I have to run his job." I said, "I'll go back then." See, that meant my word. I drove down there one time before like that. That when they told me, said, "Dale, you're off. But," said, "if we can't run, maybe we'll need you." I said, "I'll be in the morning. If you don't need me, I'll go right back home." I drove up, got up one morning, Brother Wood and him was at the house. I got up at 4 o'clock and went to General Motors and come back home. To keep my word. That's how much my word means. I could have made $5,000 one time off of selling a house by just changing my word. I told him, my nephew, he could have the house at a set price. My brother come by and said, "If you'll turn that deal down and sell it to me, I'll give you $5,000 profit." I said, "No, my word is my bond." $5,000 is a lot of money. It was a whole lot more back then than it is now. That's been 12, 14 years ago. But see, if you don't keep your word, now I'm bad enough as it is. But if I can't live what I try to preach, I ought not preach it. See, Christ wants to live among us. But Brother Brown said he wants somebody to catch the revelation. It's not our good life, our good living, our holiness and all like that. That has nothing to do with it. It's Christ living in us. He wants to live among us. I've tried to tell the kids ever since they were to finding a job and things like that. I said, "Son, go in, do your day's work. Do what they tell you to do and work and do right and be honest and you'll always have a job." And they ain't never been without it yet to where that they couldn't find a job. But you go and just do anything and your word is no good and your life is no good, then you watch what comes out of it. But listen, it's Christ. All God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ he pours into the church. Then that makes what we're talking about the same thing the prophet talked about on the seal book when he said, "This is the revelation of Jesus Christ in its entirety." You can't add to this seal book now any more than you can add to this Bible. I'm talking about the revelation that this seal book shows can't be added to no more than the revelation this Bible shows. You say, I can find words in that seal book that are not pronounced right or something. I can find words in this Bible that don't seem to be pronounced right too. But that's not the revelation. The revelation is Jesus Christ. It's not something added. It's Christ in you. I want to just read one more paragraph and we'll close on it. Look at page 65, about the third paragraph down of Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. As I said, I wish you'd read the whole thing. Now notice, God making himself known. We're not supposed to make converts to Christianity by government, but by the revelation of Christ in you as God was in Christ. Now that's the only way that I can preach. And you'll see a little later on when I come back to the message where Brother Branham over here right before he read his scripture, he said, you'll see why I've done what I've done all the years at the tabernacle. He said, you'll see it right here today. All right, then I can only talk to you, as I said this morning, about the God I know. Then I'm not to make converts to Christianity by government. I'm to make them by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That as Christ was, listen to what he says, but by the revelation of Christ in you as God was in Christ. Then I can't see none of the faults and failures you got. I might preach about it here, but you know yourself, I don't talk to you. My children even know that I ought to go to them and talk to them and things like that, and talk to them about their way they live and all like that. They ought to live more for the Lord and all like that. But they know I don't never go to their house and sit down and fuss on them and scream about it. I'm trying to make converts to Christianity by the revelation of Jesus Christ, not by no form of government. Not by no rules and no regulation, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. As God was in Christ, so Christ in us. As God was in Christ, Christ in you. What God did in Christ, Christ does in you. What signs did God in Christ, Christ does in you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh my, I like that. It's Christ in us. Because that's what it is. And we're part of the mystery then. See, it's not Jesus the mystery of God revealed. It's Christ the mystery of God revealed. Can you see that you're part of that mystery? Can you see that you're part of this Bible? Brother Brown said, if we could only see who we are. He said, one of these days the church will see who she is. He said, then she'll be gone. Well, then the only way I can see it is see it in the Word. The only way I can see Jesus is see Him in the Word. The only way I can see anything here in me or you is to see it in the Word. You can pervert. You can make yourself do something. That's not Christianity. You can stop lying, cheating, stealing, and drinking, and running around, all like that. That's not Christianity. That's just cause you stop. They got a program down here in Gainesville about drugs, and they got what do they call that? Alcoholics Anonymous. You can go in there and they talk to you and try, relieve a girl that's an alcoholic. I talk with her all the time about her alcoholic problem. She'll talk with me just as free as you would talk with me about, probably freer than most of you'd talk about your problem. She comes to her job every day, and I don't know what it is. I just keep trying to be led of the Lord, and I pray, Lord, whatever you want me to say to her, I'll say it. If you don't want me to say nothing, I just won't say a word to her. I never talk to her about the Bible. I never talk to her about, you know, anything other than sometimes I'll say a little something, and she'll say, well, what do y'all believe this way or something? I'll explain that, and I'll just go on. She'll come and sit down as close as my coat is right there, and I have to pick up stuff beside of her every day. She'll come, she'll go get her a coat, run, use the telephone, come back, sit down there. I guess if a lot of people looked around, they'd wonder what that woman doing hanging around me. I'm not telling her a thing. I'm just trying to live it. I try to talk to her that way. I try to show Christ to her. I told her, I said, there's no need of me condemning you for being an alcoholic. I said, you know it's wrong. And I talked to her about what they're trying to get her to do through the Alcoholics Anonymous. But like I said, you can take a form of government. You can take this Bible and make a form of government. Boy, a lot of people like to be in my place to beat her over the head. Because her face is painted and her hair is cropped off and she runs around with men, done divorced her husband, got a little boy. I talk to her about her child. Sometimes she'll mention something about her family affairs, you know, her problems that her husband had. I just listen to her and say, well, you know, that's not right. Maybe both of you ought to have done a little different. She never gets mad at me or nothing. Just comes every day and sits down inside of me. And I just work right on. I talk to her and ask her how the family's doing, things like that. I try my best to be led of the Lord when I'm talking to somebody. If I come to you and tell you something, and I say, listen, brother, sister, I believe I'm led of the Lord to say this to you, then you better believe one thing. The Lord did lead me to say it. Because then in that, you'll know that it's Christ. But let's just move on, as Brother Branham said, with the same simple message. We've got up here now that we've passed where he talked in the seal book and brought it up to that one fold. And here we're going on up to the second fold, and we're going into the third fold, Lord willing. Let's just keep the same simple message. Then we'll come out of that, and we'll see what he meant when he preached the token. See, I can see the token now and exactly what it is. Because to believe the message as it's preached now is the token of all tokens. I'm talking about the one true and living God and how it's come down through the seal. That's the token of all tokens. As I told you this morning, I can see the rapture message. I can see them two already. That's unfolded more than they ever have in any time to me. And I haven't even read neither one of them in a long time. You know, I preached here a while back out of the rapture about the Lord himself descending with a shout. That's the last time I read out of it. But I can see how that's just opened up now and why the prophet brought it like he did. He'd never seen that until then. He'd never seen the future home until when the Lord revealed it to him like he did over there after the seals broke. But listen, all of those messages he brought after the seals broke couldn't add one word to this seal book. If it did, it would be an addition to the Word. All the things a man preached out of the end would be an addition to the Word. Because when he preached the seventh seal, he said that's the end of it. When Jesus died on Calvary, what did I say? It is finished. You can't add one word to that. The New Testament is not an addition to the Bible. It's the Old Testament, what it spoke of, made manifest. The church today is not an addition. It's just what God spoke of, made manifest. It's Christ in us. Let's stand together. If you have a need. Let's try number 87 when the roll is called up yonder. If you have a need, the altar's open. You just pray for us and ask the Lord to be with us. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Now, here's what we ought to do.
Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Does anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, let's just all pray together. Remember, pray next week for Brother Colley to be speaking for us next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. Brother Ed Waters will be speaking for us next Sunday night. Remember to pray for these. And just pray for us as we go deer hunting and try to have a little fellowship, and a little time of the Lord, you know, one another and fellowshipping around the hunting and having a good time just talking and riding up down the highway. Just remember us and pray for us here, that the Lord may guide us. Father, we ask You to dismiss us from one another with love and grace, but never from You, Lord. Guide us all. Keep us safe. Keep us in Your loving arms. May we all look to You, the author and finisher of our faith. Guide us now. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Take the name of Jesus with you.